Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
In a world with work deadlines and horrible bosses.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
And your team may be in last place. We can all find comfort in sports, like a signal in the sky.
Oh, come on. You're going to leave me all alone here with less angry Rosie O'Donnell?
They call upon Gwen and Chris with Tony Gwynn Jr.
Monte tried to sneak the cheese past the rat there.
And Chris Ello.
Shostert ready to go. The 1-2 pitch slider, strike three, ball, and no-hitter.
Gwen and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
6:04, last hour of Gwen and Chris, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, out in Hawaii. As I said last hour of the show, I don't know what you're doing, Scraby, right now with your arms.
I was drumming.
You don't know what you're doing with your mouth, and you certainly don't know what you're doing with your arms right now. Wow. Chris, Mike Bone, who was seemingly already linked up and ready to sign the contract with SC, might be having second thoughts. USC was supposed to announce Mike Bone as his new athletic director, but Bone is having second thoughts, according to sources. Why? Sources indicate USC president Carol Folt informed Bone he would not be able to hire Urban Meyer as his next football coach. That is considered a deal breaker for Bone, according to sources. This is part of the reason why I had reservations about, or I said I didn't know how to feel about the Urban Meyer thing, because despite all the success Urban Meyer has had, I don't think there's an argument at all that he's also had programs that have had some trouble. Ohio State, they had some issues. Florida, they had some issues. Ohio State's issue blew up big time. And honestly, I remember us all sitting in the same room saying there's no way he survives this. And after like a week, we're like, you know what? He's going to survive this. And sure enough, he survived the whole year. Now he would retire at the end of the season. But I think that's probably, considering what USC has gone in on their own, dealing with, you know, some penalties when the Pete Carroll era ended, and then recently with the whole admissions thing, people getting in on sports teams that they've never played the sport in their entire life, they may be a little weary about bringing a guy like Urban Meyer in.
You know, there's a couple things on Urban Meyer, and, you know, Mike Bone, first of all, was the athletic director at San Diego State, and we talked about that the other day. I don't remember a whole lot about his tenure. I wasn't really hooked up with the Aztecs at that time. And you know, wasn't doing any broadcasting with them and wasn't really working in a situation where I was following the sports program as closely. But I always remember that Mike Bone was – the reactions always seem to be a little bit mixed when you talk to people about the career of Mike Bone and the tenure of Mike Bone at San Diego State. Yeah. So that's one thing. The other part of it is the Urban Meyer thing, and you are right. We never thought he would survive what happened at Ohio State, and yet he did, and he did so, you know, somewhat successfully. So much to the point, Tony, where if somebody does take over as a new athletic director, in this case Mike Bone, USC, or anywhere else, and, you know, for that matter.
Right, the country. Right.
Urban Meyer's name is going to be somebody that you go after, you make a phone call to, you check into, you ask about that. And it's so interesting to me. The most interesting thing about this whole story to me is the way that our world works, I guess, is the best way to say it, where Urban Meyer can be on the front page of every newspaper in the nation for about a month straight. And honestly now, Tony, I'll be honest, I honestly don't even really remember what everything was all about now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean.
I mean, that's kind of how, I mean, it's amazing how the world just moves on. And, you know, I mean, the whole, I mean, really, what happened with Urban Meyer?
It was assistant coach, right? Yeah. Smith?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the one who was abusing his wife.
And the issue was that he was still on staff.
He was on staff, and Urban Meyer didn't get rid of him.
And he knew about it.
Yes.
Right. And he knew about it, right. But isn't that interesting, though, that now there's probably some people out there listening to the show going, come on, Chris, how can you not remember that? But seriously, I don't really remember it anymore. I mean, there's so many of these stories come across, Tony, you know, day after day, week after week, month after month. The news cycle just keeps on going on and on and on to the point where Urban Meyer is a name that you would highly consider as somebody you'd want to hire. So just my first glance at this is that I kind of commend the president for USC for at least saying, hey, wait a second you know, we can't just go ahead and give a job to a guy like this, you know, without some very careful consideration. And so to that extent, I give her some credit. And, you know, whether or not Mike Bone ends up taking that job or not, we'll see. But
yeah,
I think the interesting part is just how the Urban Meyer news cycle has gone so tremendously, you know, almost like 180 degrees.
What's interesting in this story, by the way, it sounds like it's still up in the air whether Mike Bone will still take this job. USC is still pursuing him despite not being able to bring Urban Meyer on is a deal breaker for him. They're still trying to get him in the fold. The interesting thing about this story is, you know, we're in a society, the cancel culture is real, right? Where you do something wrong, you're canceled. You don't get a shot to kind of reinvent or change things, except in sports. Except in sports, you get relatively 2, 3, sometimes 4 chances to correct yourself. It's interesting that in the cancel culture that we live in now, and the thing that Urban Meyer was guilty of, that it hasn't really come to any of that. When I say he was guilty of keeping a man on his staff who was beating his wife, and he knew about it. It seems like in any other realm, in this culture we live in now, the cancel culture, they would be done. But in sports, we tend to, you know, we look for the redemption story in a lot of cases. And in this case, I don't even know if it's a redemption story. It's really just Urban Meyer getting another job and possibly taking another school to the heights that they haven't been to in a while.
It was almost as if the things that Urban Meyer got involved with at Ohio State were such a big deal at the time it was all talked about that they trumped everything he was supposedly involved with at Florida. Because if anybody can even remotely remember anything he was involved with at Florida, you know, raise your hand. But that wasn't exactly a 100% clean situation down in Florida either when he was there. So, but you're right. There are coaches in every sport, and it seems like college more than anywhere else where this happens. And college coaches are able to say, and I'm going to bring up one of your favorite guys, Pete Carroll. But, you know, it's my opinion on Pete Carroll, you know, the old, all that Reggie Bush stuff that happened supposedly on his watch that he didn't know anything about. Maybe he really didn't know anything about it, but I find it hard to believe, being as when I was in school, my coach knew everything that I did and every breath that I took. So thank you, Jim Dietz. But I've always felt that if Jim Dietz knew what I was doing, that Pete Carroll would certainly know what Reggie Bush was up to. But anyway,
Jim Dietz might have been the best detective ever known to man.
He was pretty good. He was pretty good. You couldn't get much past him.
There was nothing that got past that guy.
No. But anyway, in college, these guys do all get second chances, and in the case of Pete Carroll, you're able to kind of just leave a situation behind. USC had to kind of pay the penalty for everything that happened, whether it was Pete Carroll's fault or not. And then Pete Carroll goes on and gets hired in the NFL and makes millions and millions of more dollars. So it's a very strange dynamic, and you brought it up correctly. It's a dynamic that probably only exists in the sports world. Yeah. I don't know all of the rest of the worlds well enough to be able to compare it, but in sports, we forgive and forget very, very quickly.
Well, you guys were talking about something in the entertainment world. Well, I remember this when Tony said that. That was a really good point, Tony, because do you guys know who Chris Hardwick is? He was the Talking Dead. He was the host of some of those shows on AMC. He was part of a lot of the Comic-Con stuff.
Okay.
Well, he was accused of something by his ex-girlfriend, and he just got fired just like that because she accused him, and they didn't even really look into it. And so he was saying, I never did this, and you guys fired me. Well, it was found out a couple months or whatever down the road that he actually didn't really do what they said he did, so they rehired him. And it's just like Tony said, in sports, you can get multiple chances. But this guy was very popular, was on all these shows, got kicked out because of some rumors or because of some accusations, and they didn't actually check it.
And that speaks to the economics of both situations, right? In the sports world, generally speaking, if the team is going out doing well, they can go out and take risky hires and give guys second and third chances, because ultimately the end result, if the end result ends in winning, that's a good thing for the organization. In entertainment business, I mean, there's so many other layers to it. Their public opinion matters even more, I would say, in the entertainment world, which is why you see businesses react, maybe overreact too quick, and then have to kind of reel it back in afterwards. But it's an interesting topic nevertheless. We got to step away and take a break. We're talking San Diego State football when we come back, and we'll have our guest, Kirk Kenny of the San Diego Union Tribune, when we return. Gwen and Chris, 97.3, The Fan. I don't know if you guys ever tried to wear broken headphones, but it's quite annoying. My right ear is just flopping in the wind in here, but I can get through the next.
You look like Droopy Dog.
With one droopy ear?
Yeah, with one droopy ear.
You know, it's kind of a producer's job to make sure all the equipment's working properly.
These are Tony's headphones that he's brought in himself.
They are.
It doesn't matter. It's still your job to make sure they're working properly.
Where are the spare pairs, Scraby?
That's right.
Now he's looking at me, and the one headphone is sitting right on his ear, and the other broken one is like on his cheek.
Anyway, welcome back to Gwen and Chris, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello. We're talking San Diego State football, and today with us, we have another Aztec joining the show, Kirk Kenny. Kirk, how you doing today, brother?
Hey, guys, how's it going? You guys need some duct tape or something?
I may need some. Need some, because this flopping of the earphone is quite annoying. You wrote a great article about the Aztecs and their chances at a New Year's Day bowl game, something Chris and I have been really dreaming about since, you know, we started doing the show. Lay out the scenario for us, Kirk.
It's a million to one.
Oh, man, you just come in with
really
bad news right off top.
You know, it's funny. So today I'm out there for their Tuesday press conference, and I asked Rocky, and then I asked a couple of the players about, you know, what's your thoughts on possibly getting to get that New Year's Six berth? And they're like, oh, we don't even think about it. We're just focused on winning a conference championship. I'm like, okay. And, you know, some of that makes sense because you can only focus on what's kind of right at hand, and we're more detached from it, so we like to look ahead and look forward to what's the possibilities out there. Right now, I would say the biggest thing is they would have to win the West Division of the Mountain West. That would get them into the Mountain West Championship game. Then they would have to beat probably Boise State in that game. To go to the New Year's Six to get that berth from the Group of Five, you have to be a conference champion. So that's the first thing they'd need to accomplish. Then you'd need to be the highest-ranked Group of Five champion in the CFP rankings. The other teams going for that are all from the AAC, and that would be like Memphis, SMU, and Cincinnati. So right now, those teams have a better strength of schedule, and as things play out, unless there's an upset in that conference, the AAC, I think, would be the team that would end up representing for the Group of Five berth.
Man, so a million to one.
But Kirk, isn't there – Kirk, now that you've just poured water on my entire rest of my college football season here.
No, I was joking about million to one. I mean, if the planets aligned, the Aztecs could get there. And so there is that. I mean,
yeah. But what about the fact that Memphis and Cincinnati, now we know Memphis beat SMU last week. Do SMU and Cincinnati and those teams play each other again? I mean, that was what I was thinking, was that, yes, those teams in the AAC are ahead of the Aztecs in the rankings, but would probably fall below them should they all beat up on each other a little bit.
Yeah, I have to look closer at how many of them have still head-to-heads, but it seemed like there's a couple roads for the championship game to still be two teams with one loss. And then one of those two would win. You definitely need an upset, I think, over in the AAC in order for either Boise State or potentially the Aztecs to jump them.
Oh, so I see what you're saying. Is it Memphis and, like, per se, Memphis and SMU could both end up with one loss and then play each other, and then the winner of that game is going to still finish ahead of one-loss Aztecs.
Right. Mm. And, yeah, like, this week, Navy jumped into the top 25 rankings. So and, in fact, right now we're waiting for the CFP initial rankings to come out. They're ESPN's waiting until the basketball game's over so they can show it in between that rather than, you know, getting it on TV in a more appropriate time where we were not just waiting for the last 2 minutes of a basketball game to take an hour to finish.
Kurt Kenny, San Diego Union Tribune, joins us here on Gwen and Chris. Kurt, of the remaining opponents for the Aztecs, who do you think will give them the biggest fit?
That's a good question. They're on what I call the revenge tour right now. The last four conference games are against the four teams that beat them last year. So their last game, they beat UNLV to get that one. Now they have Nevada up this week, then Fresno State, then Hawaii. And each of those teams has had its moments of doing well, but then they've also had moments where they've really struggled. So Nevada, San Diego State's like a 17-point favorite. So it looks like a lot of people are thinking that's pretty much a gimme for them. Fresno State's given them problems in the past, but they've been up and down. I think the biggest one we've seen do well this year is Hawaii, and so that's the one I would really point to. But last weekend, Fresno State beat Hawaii. So, you know, from week to week, you just can't really tell.
Kirk Kenny is with us from the San Diego Union Tribune. Kirk, let's talk a little bit about this team and leave the rankings out for a moment and just kind of leave out the championship and whether or not they can win that. But going back to the beginning of the season and to where they are now, should Rocky Long be very, very pleased at what he has seen, what his team has accomplished? I mean, we go back to him telling us in the offseason that they were going to really take a look inside the program and change the way they did a lot of things. And obviously it's a whole new offense and a lot of different moving pieces and parts. There's a part of me that is a little bit, you know, surprised and slash excited that they've had as good of a season as they have had so far. Do they share that same feeling?
I think in a lot of ways they do. Their bottom line is always to get wins. And, you know, some people don't like their style of play, especially on offense, because it's not the most exciting throw it on every down kind of offense. But the bottom line is they're winning games. I was talking to a couple of people about this earlier. How many times do we see really exciting Aztecs games over the last 40 years? But guess what? They lost the game. Well, now they're on a stretch of 10 consecutive winning seasons, and people are starting to grumble, but it's not exciting enough.
Right.
I think the offense has not produced as well as they would have hoped, but the defense has been really good, and it saved them. So in that regard, they're 7-1, and I think they're doing probably better than you might have thought. What they need to do is get some offensive consistency, I think, down the stretch to really improve their standing and really make this a season to remember.
That certainly holds true, Kirk. We certainly appreciate your time, man, and we'll check back in with you sooner rather than later.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, Kirk.
Thanks, as always, Kirk.
Kirk Kenny, San Diego Union Tribune, giving us our Aztec football fix for the day. All right, we're going to step away, take a break. When we come back, you might have what do we have when we come back? I just totally blanked right now.
Jason Benetti.
Oh, that's right. You might have missed our earlier interview with Jason Benetti of the White Sox play-by-play radio announcer. Great story. Great inspirational story. So stay tuned. Gwen and Chris, 97.3, The Fan. 6:34. In case you want to see what everybody seems to think is me.
No, it is you.
It's not me, bro. I told you guys I have zero desire to swing a bat at this point in my life. I don't even think.
But tell me you don't have a desire to hit a ball like that.
That's the only reason why I would entertain possibly swinging a bat again is to hit a ball like that again. That ball was a big ride. We got it up on the site?
Yeah, it's 973thefansd.com or on Twitter, 973thefansd.
Okay.
So I just want everybody to know that that may or may not be Tony Gwynn Jr. hitting a softball.
It is not me.
It is.
But it is Chris Ello swimming with sharks. So hot.
That is alongside the guy who everybody thinks is me swinging the bat. There is some video of Chris Ello swimming with the sharks, as he likes to say.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, just go. Oh, it's right there. It's right there. Is Tony Gwynn Jr. back in action? Yes, he is.
No. I immediately responded to that Instagram that was added. They added me.
How many people told you it was you?
There's about four people that have said, are you sure that's not you?
But like,
I even had former Padre Tyson Ross who sent me a DM like, man, you out here just crushing old men's dreams out here. And I said, bro, everybody thinks that's me. It's not me. He said, man, you had me fooled.
You have to see this video.
All right.
Real quick, before we get to this interview, can I ask you a quick shoes question?
Of course.
Because you are the shoes expert. Did you see the shoes that Shelton Diggs was supposedly wearing or wanted to wear over the weekend with the fact that promoting the Popeye's chicken sandwich?
I did not. Shelton Diggs.
Not Shelton Diggs.
Stephon Diggs?
Stephon Diggs, yeah. The guy from the Minnesota Vikings.
He was promoting Popeye's chicken sandwiches?
He had orange shoes, the color of Popeye's. It said Popeye's on it. It said, the chicken sandwich, it's coming back Sunday, and it's open for business. And this whole thing, this whole chicken sandwich thing is completely out of control now.
It is.
Dominating the entire world. So I just thought, I didn't know if you had seen that or not.
Oh, my gosh.
Check it out online.
Scravy's showing it to me now. I hadn't seen it. I wonder if he had to get some coin for that, right?
Yes.
He had to, number one. Number two, he couldn't have possibly worn those during a game, could he?
Absolutely not. We saw what happened to Odell Beckham and Landry. Jarvis Landry had to go in and change at halftime or they wasn't going to be permitted to play. I think the rule is you got to have, it's either white or black or team colored shoes, and if it doesn't fit,
the Minnesota Vikings colors certainly are not orange.
No, they are not.
No way he could get away with those shoes. But this Popeye's chicken sandwich thing continues, Tony, to be a story, and it's been like what now 3 months since you first went over there and had one and told us all about how great they were, and we still haven't had one yet.
No, I think the best bet is to let it. You know, remember Chick-fil-A first opened and how long the lines were? I think the best thing to do is to let this kind of play out until it gets normalized, and then you can go and get you one. Because right now, it's ridiculous.
I'm not going. People are saying they're spending time in the line for like an hour.
Yeah.
Someone died
over a fight over it. Yeah, a lot of the recent stuff that's come out about Popeyes has not been good. Somebody in Maryland actually, they got into a fight over the chicken sandwich in line, ends up dying because of it.
Goodness.
So not a lot of good things coming right now in terms of that Popeyes chicken sandwich. At least people just not being able to keep their common sense about them.
We have breaking news.
We have break. Is this real breaking news?
Or is this real breaking news.
Joe Mauer type
popped
thing?
ESPN just popped up. ESPN just popped up on my phone with breaking news. I don't know if we have a breaking news sounder, Thomas.
You rearranged my wall and I still can't find it.
We do have breaking news.
Everything's my fault. The college football playoff rankings, the first one of 2019, are out, and the top team, Ohio State. The number two team, LSU. Number three team, Alabama. Number four team, Penn State. Number five team, Clemson. Number six team, Georgia.
I think this is somewhat of a surprise because everybody I heard talking about it this morning had Clemson in that top three for sure. The fact that Alabama sits three behind Ohio State, behind LSU, I think is also a bit of a surprise.
The fact that Ohio State is ahead of LSU is a surprise, is it not?
I think it is. I really do.
San Diego State not in the rankings. The number 25 team, SMU. So they have to get past SMU.
Is Memphis in there?
They're number 21. So they have to get past SMU.
Memphis is 21.
Yeah, Boise State is number 22. That's it for those teams.
Mm. Chris, what are your thoughts?
I'm not happy.
Navy's number 24.
Not happy at all. What? I like the AP ranking a lot better than this one. I mean, San Diego State probably, I don't know. I mean, I was feeling about 40 minutes ago like the Aztecs had a chance to run the table and go to a Cotton Bowl. And then Kirk Caney came on and threw water on it.
Now just completely bursted our bubble.
Burst the bubble, and now these rankings come out, and now I don't even feel like the Aztecs need to play the rest of the season. It's like ridiculous.
Oh, man, how quick 40 minutes can turn everything into you know, mush, basically.
You know what's happened? My whole world has gone cattywampus.
Cattywampus. What a great time to use that lingo. All right, before we go to Jason Benetti of the White Sox play-by-play announcer, I wanted to play for you some sound. On Sunday, during a Laker game, Snoop Dogg came on the telecast, and the two broadcasters both decided to kind of peel back and let him do his thing. And it was pretty entertaining. Here's Snoop Dogg doing the Laker game.
Get that. Let's go. Push that. Push that, LBJ. Run that point. PG, get out there, Bradley. Get out there. Give it back to him. Oh, threes, please.
Snoop, what about Dwight coming back? Because I know, right? Not a lot of people were happy.
I welcome him with warm arms. I mean, I'm so glad he's back home. He's playing a different role now. We don't need him to do what we needed him to do before. He can just play his role, his position.
You got AD. What were your feelings when it finally got done? When it finally got done and AD was coming to L.A.?
That there is a God?
We all hear you.
Space the floor. Take your time. Lob up. Oh, that's a foul. Hey, I gotta get back to my seat, man. I'm gonna go back over to my seat.
I thought you were gonna go to the whistle. Yeah.
I'm gonna go back over to my seat. Threes, please. I was so entertained watching him do that game. When he hit the threes, please, I'm gonna use that the rest of the year, by the way. Every time somebody shoots a three. Threes, please. Yeah.
Threes, please. That's pretty good. Bill McDonald is an old friend. He used to work down here in San Diego.
Awesome, yes.
Yeah, now doing a great job doing the Lakers stuff. But I got to be honest with you, that would be a tough gig for any play-by-play guy to have to do a sideline interview with Snoop Dogg during a Laker game while it's being played.
Right.
That is a tough assignment for anybody. Because you're trying to ask him a couple of questions, and Snoop's, his head's off somewhere else, and then he starts announcing the game on you. But that's a crazy one, but it was funny.
Yeah, Stu Lads and Bill McDonald did a good job. All right, without further ado, you might have missed it earlier. Jason Benetti, White Sox play-by-play radio broadcaster, joined us to give his story, and it's an inspirational one. Take a listen.
Our guest is the play-by-play voice of the Chicago White Sox, Jason Benetti. Jason, thanks so much for joining us. How you doing today? We appreciate the time.
I'm fantastic. I wish I had your weather, but I'm fantastic. Thank you for having me and for the very kind introduction.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're very welcome, and I want to get right to it just so people, get it and understand, what you have accomplished, which I think is phenomenal to have been born with a cerebral palsy and to be one of only, 30 people in this entire nation who are a play-by-play voice of a Major League Baseball team franchise. It's a remarkable accomplishment. It's something to be proud of, whether you have cerebral palsy or not. But the fact that you do, I'm just curious, how proud of that your community, the cerebral palsy community, how proud of you are they and the people that you kind of represent doing what you're doing?
Yeah, you know, it's that is an interesting question, and I don't often think of what you said about being one of 30 and the tiny odds of even just getting one of these jobs, let alone being somebody who's got something with like stigma attached to it. So, yeah, it's that kind of hit me as you said it. But the hard part about being a representative for the community of people with CP is I was a really lucky person with CP. There are a lot of people who have the same joy for sports that I do and the same zeal for communicating who have CP, who use assistive technology devices. I mean, people may not know this, but there's technology now for people who are unable to speak with their actual voice that they can use an iPad to talk, or they can use technology, eye gaze technology, to select words on a screen. So basically you're using your eyes to point a laser, essentially, to pick words to say. So it's such a varied and variable disorder that it's hard to represent everybody. But I do notice when I go to events or children's hospitals that it's much more about the parents, actually, than it is even the kids. I was one of them, and the kids are typically just too naive to the differences that they have at 10 or 12 even, because the parents do a great job of letting them be kids. So really, I think I just, by being in front of them, bring a little hope to parents, which is a pretty awesome thing to get to do just by roaming the earth.
Jason, one of the things that you spoke about in that CBS piece that caught my eye, I'm a father of four, and you mentioned sometimes, you know, you'll be out, a child will recognize or see you and ask their parents, you know, what is wrong, and they tend to shun their kid away or to tell them, you know, be quiet, don't make light of that. And you actually made it seem as though that was the wrong way to go about it. How do we go about educating our children about, you know, CP?
Yeah, I'm not. That's hard too. I'm not really in I'm not in the business of telling parents how to parent, because it's odd to have your kid say something loudly that might make somebody's day a little bit worse initially. But I think what I try to convey with the stuff I do with the Cerebral Palsy Foundation that we've collaborated on is just say, if you hear your child, and it's very normal for a kid to say, hey, that's different than what I'm used to seeing. My college friends have kids, and they'll go to their house and they'll say, well, why does Uncle Benetti walk different? And their immediate response, even my close friends, is like, oh, don't say anything. And it's like, no, let me just tell you what it is. Now, I can't speak for everybody with a disability and say they're all going to be pleased as punch that they're getting asked the question.
Right.
But generally, you know, like if you have one of those situations and you go home, I think it's a really good time to say, hey, remember when I said, hey, don't say anything about that right then? It's not because it's wrong to talk about. It's just because not everybody thinks about it in that way. And so here's what's going on with that person. They just walk differently or they talk differently, but they've got the same heart as we do. That sort of thing. I mean, I just think there's a way to make it not an us versus them sort of situation. And I tend to think that when you say, hey, shh, be quiet, don't talk about them like that, kids kind of put their feelings away about it, and then they make the assumption that there's just something wrong with the person, when instead it's just like, hey, maybe they just want to go shopping and don't really want to talk about walking funny today.
Right.
There is nothing wrong with Jason Benetti. There is everything right about Jason Benetti. He is the play-by-play voice of the Chicago White Sox. He has cerebral palsy, and he is an inspiration to thousands, maybe tens of thousands, people in this country. And we're proud to have him on the program. Jason, you said, I know in the piece part of it was that you grew up and talked. You were like I was. You sat there and turned down the sound on the television, right, and practiced the games and stuff. I'm just curious. I used to get a lot of really strange looks from people in my family when I was sitting there announcing the game with no sound on. Did you get strange looks too? People saying, "My goodness, what are you doing?" Because that's kind of how it all starts for a lot of announcers.
Yeah, it was friends of mine realizing that maybe they didn't want to hang out as much because I would do play-by-play of video games while we were playing. And it's like, hey, dude, like, I know you enjoy this, but can we just, like, play instead of you calling home runs on Ken Griffey Jr. baseball? Like, what is your deal? So, yeah, I mean, I guess I get to choose the awkward stares I get. It's where I started. No, look, it's great fun to do games. I've always felt that way. And yeah, I think a lot of us start in that way, and you get a love for it and for those moments that you just can't replicate anywhere else.
Jason, let's ask you, I would like to ask you a baseball question. In terms of the White Sox, they seem to be an up and coming team. They got some young talent on that squad. What do you think they need to do to take that next step in competing for a wild card or a playoff spot?
Now that we're not as serious about like life and psychology and all that, I want to say I'm sorry I missed you by a year in Syracuse, Tony.
Yeah, yes.
I was the voice of the Chiefs until 2014. So I missed you by one season when you were playing AAA. So I'm sorry I missed you.
Hey, I'm sorry I missed you, but hopefully we get a chance to run across each other now that you're with the White Sox, though.
That would be great. That would be great. And I was very touched about the hit you had after your father passed away. My buddy Kevin Brown called the games that year. He sent me the clip, and I was like, man, that is just one of those awesome moments. So I wanted to share that. But,
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. It was so cool. White Sox. I think the fan base is ready for the White Sox to make some sort of splash in free agency. I don't know exactly what that's going to look like. But the reason is you got Yoan Moncada, you have Tim Anderson, you have Eloy Jimenez, Lucas Giolito was, if he's not the comeback player of the year, I don't know who
I
is.
Agree.
And I know in order to be the comeback player of the year, you got to like have got to have come back to something. But he was like the worst pitcher in Major League Baseball in 2018. And he's just been such a wonderful story of hard work and dedication and all of that. You got him and Ronaldo Lopez and Michael Kopech coming back from injury and Carlos Rodon. Like, there's this litany of young, talented, really hyper-talented, skilled players. And so it's like, what will the decision be and who will the team go get this coming offseason? But you do feel things building. I mean, the Tigers don't really have an end of their rebuild in sight. The Royals have just started. The Indians had all those rumblings about possibly trading Corey Kluber, and they traded Trevor Bauer, and what's that going to look like in the division? Our feeling is that it's going to be maybe the White Sox and Twins for some years. Depending on the direction the Indians go, it could be a three-team deal. But I kind of feel like the Sox have, you know, a couple people to go sign. I don't know who it's going to be, but if they do that, I do think this young core is pretty magnificent.
Jason Benigni is our guest. He's the voice of the Chicago White Sox. And, well, this has really been a pleasure to have you on the program, Jason, and very inspiring. And I just wanted to just maybe kind of – we got a couple seconds left here. As far as your broadcasting world is concerned, all of us, no matter whether we have cerebral palsy or not, we have to overcome obstacles to get to where we get to. And – I'm just curious, did you ever get to a point where you felt like, you know what, I love this, I would love to be a play-by-play guy, but it's just never going to quite work out for me? Was there ever a time you got to that point, or were you always able to see a little light at the end of the tunnel and keep on going?
I was too stupid to think it might not work out. I mean, you just love doing something and you just go do it. But I did. It's funny we were talking about Syracuse, because right after I left Syracuse in 2014, I went to this big seminar, and there was an image consultant at the seminar, and she told the large group that they should not wear as bright of ties because it detracts from what they're saying. And the people at home are looking at the tie instead of their face and the words. And then I went and met with her individually, and she said, well, one thought I have for you is to wear brighter ties. I was like, wait a second. That's not nice. And she was like, no, we just want to, like, accentuate your positive features. And my thought was like, oh, so my torso is wonderful. Like, what are we doing here? But that's when I was like, you know, you jump into TV, you're going to get some people who think things about you. Like, that's just the lay of the land. People are going to watch just like they watch players and think stuff about players. They're going to think it about announcers, and it's time to get a little thicker skin because that's just going to happen.
Well, Jason, again, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks
like,
so
I,
much,
this was
Jason.
Just one of those stories. When I was watching it, I said, I really want to share this with the people of San Diego, and it's very gracious of you to do that. I know you're probably asked to do these kinds of interviews all the time, and would much rather talk just baseball all the time. So hopefully, we will have you on again. And next time we will be able to talk solely about baseball and the White Sox, and hopefully things are cooking there on the south side. But thanks again for the visit. We really enjoyed it, and continued best of luck.
Thank you, Jason.
How about this? When the Sox play Interleague in San Diego next year, I'll come in studio.
Perfect.
You have a we'll send the limo for you.
Wait, we don't have a limo.
Scraby, get a limo. Get a limo, Scraby.
We don't have
Come
a limo.
On, limo.
We don't have a limo.
But get a limo.
But we'll gladly have you in.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you.
Jason Benetti.
Scraby, get a limo.
Get that man a limo. God,
I don't have
a
limo.
Can't believe Scraby's like trying to get cheap now on our people who want to come into studio and be guests of the show.
I would love for him to come in. Right. But then he's going to be expecting a limo, and we don't have a limo. I wanted to set expectations up front.
You get an Uber limo.
Well, you go down to that sales department tomorrow, and you tell those guys that we need a limo. That's all.
Make it happen, Scray. You got clout like that?
No, I do not.
Okay. Well, maybe not.
No, he doesn't. Tony, look at the headset you're wearing right now.
Hey, it's flapping.
My ear flap. All right, Scray,
He doesn't have any pull.
Scraby, what do we got tomorrow?
Tomorrow we have a loaded one. Chris, you are going to be, I believe, flying back or something. But
yes, I'm finally coming home.
AJ Cassavell's with us tomorrow, and we're going to have Jacob Hester talking LSU Alabama. We're going to have Channing Crowder, Dolphins, former Dolphins linebacker, Radio.com insider, and we're going to have NBA on NBC's Kurt Heelan.
Right between the eyes. All right, Chris, good luck. Do well.
I'll see you in a couple days, guys.
Bring a W home with you. Thomas Andrews, very
yes,
nice
sir.
Work. Matt Scraby, as usual, did your thing. We appreciate you guys listening as always. Check in tomorrow, 3 to 7. Quinn and Chris, have a good night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.